This year, more than 625,000 inmates will be released from prisons across the country. Once they're out, ex-offenders still face dozens of restrictions on what they can do, including where they can live and work. But some policymakers are now rethinking the value of these so-called invisible sentences just a few years after they pushed to get them. From Chicago, NPR's David Shaper reports.
So, you know, I'm just a young man trying to make it, and I was trying to make it the wrong way.
25-year-old Jamal Adams recently got out of jail for what he hopes is the last time. He's been in and out of prison a few times, but now he wants to go straight and provide for his three children.
I got people that look up to me now. I ain't just got myself no more. You know, I got to worry about them now.
But Jamal says he's finding jobs are few and far between on Chicago's west side, even for people without a criminal record.
I've been so scared, I don't even tell people I got a conviction.
Hey, I'm glad to see so many of you still here.
So Jamal has come to the United Baptist Church in Chicago's North Lawndale neighborhood to enroll in a job training program for ex-offenders. Executive Director Brenda Palms-Barber says getting ex-felons job ready isn't always enough.
There are 57 different classifications of jobs that ex-offenders are barred from. An example is becoming a barber or working as a cosmetologist, a beautician.
Illinois law prohibits ex-felons from working in any state-licensed profession, from being a manicurist to being a real estate agent. Every state has similar restrictions on the kinds of jobs ex-offenders can get. State and federal laws limit them in other ways, too. People with drug convictions can't get student loans and financial aid. They can't live in public housing, and they can't get welfare or food stamps. Some restrictions make sense, like keeping convicted sex offenders from working near children. But Palms-Barber says many of them don't.
What floors me is after these people have done their time, we expect them to come back and get a job and have a house and to be normal like everybody else, but yet we have all these rules that bar them from being able to access it.
It's what Mark Maurer of the Washington, D.C.-based group The Sentencing Project calls invisible punishment.
We traditionally believe in America that once you've paid your debt to society, you should be free to rejoin the community. And essentially what the invisible punishments impose is that you've never finished paying that debt to society. In many respects, you will always be a second-class citizen.
Maurer says these invisible punishments largely grew out of the political parties trying to one-up each other in their efforts to get tough on crime and fight the war on drugs during the 1980s and 90s. Research by Maurer and others show these invisible sentences frustrate ex-offenders who are trying to straighten out their lives. The Justice Department says within 3 years, 60% of ex-offenders are rearrested. Paula Wolf served as a policy advisor to three Illinois governors in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. She's now a senior executive at a Chicago think tank. Wolf says elected officials didn't look at the long-term consequences of these restrictions on ex-cons, but now they're beginning to realize the cost.
As all of these states face budget deficits, just as Illinois does, more and more I think policymakers will be asking themselves, are we spending our dollars wisely? And I think if they look at $1 billion in the state of Illinois being spent on locking people up when we know that 40% of them will be back in 3 years, people will ask themselves, is that a good use of our tax dollars?
So some state legislatures and Congress are beginning to consider ways to relax the post-prison restrictions on ex-offenders. Illinois lawmakers are poised to pass a law this week making it easier for nonviolent ex-felons to work in many of the fields current law prohibits. A pilot program in Chicago is allowing a limited number of nonviolent ex-offenders to live in public housing. More than half of the states have at least partially opted out of a federal ban on ex-offenders receiving welfare and food stamps, and Congress is considering easing the restrictions preventing ex-offenders from getting student loans and financial aid. It's a marked contrast from the rush just a few years ago to find new ways to punish lawbreakers. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.